There are times in all of our lives that leave us looking for things in which to place our hope. Pastor Tim this morning encourages us to find our hope in what we know it to be, and that is in Jesus Christ, His sacrifice, and what He has done for us. Thank you for joining us.
Michelle being here, and Miranda keeping a little of the Titus for Patrick and Amy. So thank you here. Next Sunday is going to be a very special Sunday because it's a Easter Sunday. It's so special just because of that. But we're going to have an Easter sunrise service via a live on Facebook. It's going to start at 8 a.m. and we'll be sending out some notices on that. We're going to have a sunrise service, so we would invite you to go out of your house and we'll have it via live on Facebook. And so that's going to be a wonderful time together as far as a sunrise service. And then we have our regular service at 10:45, and we're going to be serving communion. So let me just talk to you about communion a little bit in your home. If you want to get some flatbread, will be great, and some grape juice, you can be able to serve your family. We will lead you here from the camera and to just a Lydian communion, and you can serve your family. It can be a wonderful time for you to pray over your family, and a wonderful time of intercession. And so I just hoping to pray that you're just in anticipate that wonderful moment together, a spiritual time in your home. And so we'll be doing also that next Sunday for at our 10:45 service on the live stream. And so I hope you're doing well. If you need us, please just call in, and we will try to help you any way that if we can help you. And y'all keep praying for one another, pray for us as we try to lead you. Well, have there been the times in your life that you have put your whole hope and faith in something, and in the end it just didn't turn out that way you thought it would? That hope that you had began just to dissipate. The questions come, how did I miss it? You know, the things like, I knew my marriage would last a lifetime. You had a hope of that when you made your vows. I know this job is going to take me to the top, but you had the hope in it, and it really didn't take you to the top. You know, some would say I was really good in football, and when I go out for the high school team, I know I'm going to be the one that's going to start. I'm going to be the one that's going to be the star, and it just doesn't work out that way. You know, it pains me on a draft day is when these college students that are in the big hall that they have there, the big auditorium, they have them sitting over there around at the tables in their new suits, and they are ready to be drafted by the NFL. And they were supposed to be drafted in the first round, and it keeps going, and that first round is about over. And you see the hope begin to just dissolve in them when they don't go in that first round. You know, hope in those moments, they turn in a moment, in a moment. You know, we often have hope for our children that they will be somebody in this world. We have hope that they're going to be movers and the shakers of this world. And for whatever reason, sometimes they fizzle out under the pressure, and our hopes are out of dash. Some was to start a new business thinking that this is going to be their end. This is going to be what it's going to take off, and it's going to be everything for them. And just a little while, that business begins to fall. And we had hope in that. Hope. Do you have hope? Do you have hope? That's the question today. What foundation supports your hope? That's the better question I think we'd have. We often have hope, like I just said, in a lot of things. But what props up your hope? When the storms of life come, and Jesus said one time that the storms will come, bad times will come in our life, what props up that hope? What keeps you from losing hope? What is your foundation? What is the foundation that supports your hope? When these one or two major events that may come in your lives, in your family's life, and it shakes you to the core, it shakes you to the very bottom, till you get to the foundation, will your foundation support you? What is it built upon? For many of us, our hope stays such as strong and it's anchored in a great foundation of Jesus Christ. But for many, we have found our hope in so many different things of this world. What do we hope for? It's another question that we might have to say. We're going to read out of Luke chapter 19 today. It's a Palm Sunday, and I'm sure ministers all over the world will be using some scripture as that I'm about to use. And so if you want to stand in your home, Luke chapter 19, 28 through 40, I want you to stand and to take your Bibles out, and you can watch on screen. I believe it's going to be on the screen this morning. Luke 19:28. It says, after he has said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village ahead of you, and you, as you enter it, you will find there will be a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, why are you untying it? Just say this, the Lord needs it. So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. And as they was untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They said, the Lord needs it. Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their other cloaks on the colt, people kept spreading their cloaks on the ground. And as he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to praise God joyfully and with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, Teacher, will you order your disciples to stop? He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. Wonderful scripture today. I'm sure this scripture will be read around the world. We find Jesus coming to the end of his ministry here on earth in a bodily form. He is in his final week of his life, and throughout his ministry, after a miracle or something, he would say things like, now my time has not yet come, so don't tell anyone. We find him at the wedding at Cana. He said those words, this is not my time yet, because he didn't want anybody to know the miracles that he did not want to announce abroad of the miracles. You know, they were at the feeding of the 5,000 at the end of it. After they were fed and they were filled, they moved upon him to make him king. And he went up into the mountainside because he knew it wasn't his time. When he raised Jairus's daughter, he instructed them, don't tell anyone. At the Transfiguration, when Peter, James, and John was on there, it was a wonderful moment for them, a glorious moment. As they were coming down the mountain, he said, do not speak of this until after I have ascended to the Father. You know, he had a specific plan. The Father had a specific plan for Jesus. You know, the old saying is that timing is everything. Timing is everything. But up to this time, many believe, but what were their reasons that they believed in Jesus? They saw him do miracles. They saw him feed so many different people. Or maybe Jesus touched them and brought a touch to their body. But many had heard of Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And these same people began to follow him. These same people wanted to see more about Jesus and to know him. Even with us today, when we see something and see it is a miracle happens, it makes us want to know more about who Jesus is. But whatever the reason that they wanted to follow Jesus, it comes to this day. In this Palm Sunday, as we call it, it comes to this day that God had ordained for him to come on this day to ride into Jerusalem on this day. Because there was a goal that God had. There was a goal that Jesus had to go to the cross. And so before he went to the cross, he had experienced many different things. But on this day, he sends two disciples ahead and says, there will be a donkey. It will be at a tide. And when you get there, you just tell the owner of that donkey that I need it. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, there's a prophecy that says this, that there will be a donkey, a foal of a donkey, a colt will be tied there, that no one had ever been on before. It was set aside for Jesus to ride in to Jerusalem that day. And so oftentimes we think that when in our day, that a donkey is an animal that we kind of make fun of. It's an animal that we make jokes about. But in that day, it was a symbol of peace. If a king was going to ride into a city to go to war, he would be in on a horse. But if he would ride in on a donkey, it means he was coming as peace. So as he was riding in at this appointed time, you can sense the celebration. You can sense the anticipation of the people, because they began to get a palm of branches and began to lay down for him, because they felt like he was not worthy to walk on the street. And so they began to lay these things as a symbol of how worthy he was. They began to take their coats off and begin to lay down. It's a wonderful moment. It was a great moment. All the multitudes and the disciples began to praise God. And joyfully, it says. I can see they begin to sing, begin to probably dance. And they said often wonderful things. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, a glory in the highest heavens. You can picture this with me again. This moment, this wonderful moment that led up to all the ministry that Jesus had done up to that point. As he's going into Jerusalem, a city that he loved and the people that he loved. Is they are going in and begin to celebrate and dance, and what a wonderful time that they were having together. What hope they had at that moment. I call this sermon the ride of hope, when Jesus rode in on that donkey that day. The hope and the feeling that they had. Everything that disciples and the crowds had dreamed of. Kind of sort of a lot of Israel dreamed of, this is the chosen one, this is the Messiah, that this is the King. He had arrived. He is here. He is here, and he's going to set everything in order. He's going to set everything in order. This is what their dream was. They had hope in the Lord. Had hope in him. And it was a glorious moment in their lives to see Jesus riding in. Because they had known of him and they had heard of him. They had seen him do so many different miracles. He seemed to be strong and powerful. Strong and powerful. Even one of the Pharisees there says, why don't you tell them to stop? But he says, but the rocks will cry out. I mean, in other words, that all creation will sound the alarm that this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If nobody else does, his creation will scream out those words that he's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. We have hope in the Lord because we've seen so many different things, and everywhere we just turn. But here's the thing, when things go wrong, what is the foundation that is holding up your hope? What is that foundation when the things in our lives begin when the world begins to exit its way in and something really shakes us to the core? What is the foundation of your hope? Some things can go wrong. Well, the words of Jesus here throughout this scripture, he had given them specific directions on what to do, because he knew this moment was a substantial moment to get him into Jerusalem, because in a week he was going to go die on a cross. Little did many know that this was going to be the end resort of this. But it says when he came near to the city, and I did not read it yet. Interesting thing here. All of this joy and all this happiness, just a celebration, and as Jesus was riding in, and when he gets in, as it says here in the word in verse 41, it says, as he came near and saw the city, If it had been anyone else, they would be like, hey, I'm here. Hello. I have arrived. You know, I have arrived. When I, you know, when I walk into a church building, you know, I'm here. I have arrived. That's the way we think in these celebrations. But as he came near and saw the city, he wept over it. You would think it would be just the opposite. He would go into the celebration of these things. It was just the opposite than what he did. He began to weep. And he began to say things like this, that if you could just recognize, you could just recognize on this day the things that make for peace. Because he understood some things. That the people desire something from him that he was not going to give them. How many times have we desired something from the Lord and not really knowing what we were asking, but in turn that Jesus would never give to us? The people wanted a King David. They wanted someone to ride in and set up his kingdom here. And that, because this word says, if they could only recognize what would make a peace, they could just recognize it. But they had been in a bondage. The children of Israel had been under the Roman rule for so long, is that they thought that this would be the Messiah. This would be the king that will set things in order. That he's the one that's going to come in and make his kingdom now. And destroy the Romans, and that they could rule again, and that this was their city, and they could rule again on high. But in a week's time, all hope would be lost. All hope would be lost. In a time that this was a beautiful moment of celebration, and in our lives we have those moments with the Lord that we celebrate with him, and that we have that communion with him. We come in on Sunday mornings and we have a wonderful time together, worship, and we're singing, raising our hands unto the Lord. And for many throughout my life that I've seen in the pastorate, they might be raising their hands on Sunday morning in celebration to the Lord. But when Monday comes and something is thrown their way, they find themselves in deep despair with no hope. This was hope that was riding into Jerusalem. And the people could not see this hope for what it was. And so he began to weep over the city. So he's the utter Prince of Peace. If they would just recognize what makes peace. That's to me, that statement is strong and powerful. If they could only recognize on this day the things that make for peace. I wonder if we recognize it. I think sometimes in our lives, the way we handle things, that we don't know what makes for peace either. Is that we make such bad decisions with relationships. But when, excuse me, my throat's going out on me today. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And until we understand these things, just give me a second. Jesus has said to the cross in a week's time. The people that were triumphant on that day began to scatter because their hopes were built on something that was not truth, that was not reality. Their hope was built on something that they thought that they knew what they wanted. It was built on a hope that they could control this God, control Jesus. There was no, that this is the way it has to be. But Jesus always comes in when we think we got him figured out. He's probably going to just be the opposite of that. Excuse me. He's probably going to just be the opposite of that. And so my question for us today is this again, is what hope, what's the foundation of our hope? What Jesus do we serve? What Jesus do we see? What Jesus do we, that we celebrate? We like the triumphant Jesus, but we run from the suffering servant. We like the ideal of a sword as they like the ideal of a sword. The ideal of a David or someone coming in with a big sword and be able to slay the Romans and set up a kingdom there. Yes, that was the idea. It made them feel good. It made them feel something inside. And we as a Christian people, we often feel that way. We often get such in a nationalistic view of our Christianity, even here in America, that if we can just go and bomb a nation or we can take somebody out or do something. I'm saying there's times that we have to do those things. But it makes us feel good inside when lives are lost. And when Jesus comes in and says, what makes for peace? What makes for peace, I believe, is he showed it in his whole life as he was here on earth. He was the example of what makes for peace. What makes for peace is I turn the other cheek. What makes for peace is I'm a healer. What makes for peace is I pick up a towel and I serve and I wash people's feet. That's what makes for peace. And they did not recognize it. We scoff at the towel. We often find hope in our talents. We find hope in our jobs and our looks and our family. We find hope in our family. There's nothing finding hope in these things. And we have to have hope that we're going to do a good job. We're going to have a hope that this a business is going to do well. But when it's our only foundation, those hopes will be stomped in this world. When those moments that comes and it shakes us to our core. Even when we come in and we sing and we preach on Sunday morning, and some people, that's what their hope is in. If I can just get back on Sunday morning, and I know, you know, I even said this week when I had a Facebook post that I miss you, I love you, and I miss you, and I cannot wait for us to be back together. It's going to be a glorious day. I love the video that's going out on YouTube when that church and everybody's dancing down the aisles. And you know, we said, can you see Patrick and me coming down the aisle that way? I know you're laughing at home. I know you want to see it. And we're going to jump and scream and holler, and we're going to dance our way down. But we often get caught up into the emotionalism of things. We get caught up in those moments. Even when we run to the altar at the times, we find our hope here. Yes, and that's where I invite everyone to always come to the altar. But if you don't come up changed, that trip to the altar is worthless. We find hope in so many different things. We find hope when we win the argument on Facebook. It makes us feel good. It makes us feel good when we win the argument. Husband, it makes you feel good when you win the argument. Wife, it makes you feel good when you win the argument. And as Christians, it shouldn't make us feel good when we win the argument. Because when we win the argument, that means we probably have hurt someone. It's okay to have disagreements and come together and have discussions and communicate together. But when the ultimate goal is to win the argument, someone loses. Someone loses, and we live our lives based upon this thought, this Messiah, is that we have to win, that we're the ones that have to always be on top. We're the ones that know that have to that have to win every argument. We don't have to win any argument. You know, there's a Christian apologist throughout my life as a Christian. Some are very good, and some are very bad. Ravi Zachariah, I love Ravi Zachariah because he's a Christian apologist that he does it with a towel in his hand. There's others that are very just in your face that I believe they serve the Messiah. They went on a white horse and sit on a donkey. We always don't have to win the argument, but what we have to do is wash their feet. And when we understand that this is what Jesus, this is what makes for peace, our world will change. Our families will change. Our churches will change. Our churches will change. Where what foundation did the disciples have? When Jesus was arrested, what happened? They scattered. When this crowd here that was so triumphant, what happened? They became the ones in the street, crucify him, crucify him. Because they saw him now as what? A Messiah do not die on a crosses. How can he be Messiah and die on a cross? And so they turned, and knowing that the things that they had seen of Jesus and maybe had been touched by him, many were touched by him that never turned their back on him, but many they saw and they believed, but in that moment says, wait a minute, the Messiahs do not die on crosses. And they were the very ones in the street saying, crucify him, crucify him. What is your hope? What's the foundation of your hope today? What's your foundation today in your hope? Is it just your religion? Meaning, you know, I've heard it all my life, says that Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. And there's very much truth there. But is it a true relationship in Jesus Christ, or is it true to something that when the times get tough, you want to check out? You know, time gets tough, you get mad at God. When something doesn't go your way and said, I'm mad at God. We're living in an age. We're living in a time that we never thought would happen. I never really haven't given any thought of what's going on in our world today. Pastor Amy and Pastor James, I want you to come. But we've got to have hope in the Lord. Yes, that seems to be bad. It seems to be like there might not be an end to it real soon. But my question is, through this time, how do you have hope in Jesus Christ? Do you have hope in him? Do you have the true hope? As of which Jesus do you want to serve? Which Jesus do you see? Who do you serve today? Jesus is our hope. As he said on that day, if you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. It says, indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you, surround you, and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave it within you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God. They desired a king to destroy, but they got a king that puts things together, that makes peace by loving and serving. That's what we have to do in this time. This is what we have to do in this moment of time in our world where he has placed us. We can get on social media and fuss and fight about who's wrong and we should have seen it coming, but it don't change the reality on where we are. We as Christians that love Jesus Christ, we need to be the ones. We need to be the ones that lead the way. That no one would question the foundation of our hope. Let me ask you this. Have you been a hope for your family? Has it been woe is me? Has it been woe is me? Has it been that you have criticized others or you criticize whatever's going on? Have you led your family in the hope of Jesus Christ that we're going to get through this because of him and our faith in him? Palm Sunday reminds me to lay down the sword. That's what it reminds me of, to lay down the sword and pick up a towel. What is your foundation of hope built upon? That's the question I want to leave with you today.
We are surrounded by those in our world who, at this point in time, certainly are looking for things in which to hope. My prayer is, and our prayer is that you will find ways, avenues, whether it be social media, phone calls, however it is, to communicate the hope that you have in Jesus Christ in this time. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a great rest of your week.